Hey guys, first I want to apologize for some of the issues you're going to get in this podcast episode. For some reason, the client that we use to do a lot of our uploading and recording was having problems connecting with certain people on the podcast. And this is kind of what happens because Gwent, such a large gaming community from so many different places around the world, it causes some issues sometimes of recording. So I do apologize. This one's going to be a little amateur in terms of editing. I didn't have the opportunity to separate the tracks and things like that. So we apologize. And guys, please do not forget to subscribe in your podcast engine of choice. Use the comment section as well in your podcast engine of choice to tell us what you think about the podcast. We thank you again for all of your continued support. We hope you enjoy the episode. This one we're focusing on patch 8.1. Though small, there are some interesting changes. We talk a little bit about people complaining about Nilfgaard. Is it just to be doing that? And a few other things. So guys, without further ado, here is our episode. All right, I'm going to start the recording here. Start the recording here. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is DarkTap66. We got a few new members on the team joining us today. We got Zubin and Baron. I'm going to give them a chance to kind of talk about themselves and what they do. So, guys, what's up? Tell us about yourselves.
You can go ahead, Baron.
I'm Baron Grimsel. I've been playing only since last summer, so about 7 months maybe now, close to 7 months. And I'm semi-competitive, we'll call it. And I like to do community development stuff there. I like to make groups and try and get more people involved and connect with as many people as I can.
Dig it. Yeah, what kind of decks do you
sums it up.
What kind of decks do you play? What kind of faction? What's your like main faction if you had to pick one? All that.
Oh, I don't know if I could pick a main faction. Like I like Nilfgaard, I think, is the most interesting faction. I didn't play it as much at first because it was always kind of weak, but now that it's more powerful, it's pretty interesting. Maybe even if it's a little bit overpowered right now. But I think that's the most interesting one they've designed anyway, just for the mechanics of it. I guess I would have to take Skellige because I'm obligated because it's the best, of course. But I like to play them all. I enjoy them all for sure.
Sweet. And then we have Zubin. Zubin, tell us about yourself. Go for it, man.
So, yeah, hey, guys. My name is Zubin, and my Twitch name is Zubidoo. I'm sure some of you know me. And I've been playing Gwent only since the Master Mirror expansion. And Gwent is basically the thing that even made me start streaming. Because during this lockdown and stuff, you know, socializing was something that I was missing a lot. And that is really what got me into this stuff, right? So when it comes to my favorite factions and things like that, I would say Nilfgaard is number one for me as well. Just because of lockdown, I know some of you are gonna hate me for it, but I find it a really fun leader to annoy people. So yeah, Nilfgaard is on top for me on that. And that's the main reason for me to even stream and play Gwent is basically the socializing thing. So yeah, that's basically about me.
Yeah, which is cool to hear that new players are coming on, right? Like I started a little bit. I mean, a couple months before Master Mirror, and I actually started streaming as well, kind of with Gwent. Actually, I streamed a little bit before it, but I was looking for a community and a game that would keep me hooked. And I actually, Nilfgaard's my big one too, so that's cool to hear. So guys, we have a new patch coming out, patch 8.1. It's relatively, actually, it's pretty small in terms of what they're changing. But what are they changing exactly? Looks like we're introducing a new card as well.
Yeah. Madoc, right? The Witcher. Yeah.
So whenever you play a bomb card, summon this card from your deck or graveyard to a random allied row, or spawn Cataclysm, right? For one turn on the opposite row, then destroy yourself. So that's kind of interesting. It's a power 3 provision 10. What do you guys think about that? You guys think anything about it?
I mean, there's no way of really knowing until we test it. Because, I mean, in theory, it would only play for, what, 6 for 10? Because Cataclysm spawns, what, I think it's a one turn row effect and it does 3 damage randomly to all, or is it to all row enemies on that row, or is it just
no, it's randomly enemies? On all the enemies, yeah.
Randomly, I think.
Just it's one. Just split, yeah.
It looks like they're...
It's like Ragnarok, eh?
But I...
You have to understand, like, it is whenever yeah. you play a bomb card, so I could see this fitting into something quite well, like the yeah. low unit, Squirtle, precision strike lists, you know, mm-hmm. you're running at least 3 bombs there, and you can argue maybe throwing in, like, a 4th or something like that, and you could maybe even bring the bomb heaver into the equation and start an engine off that or something. It might see some yeah. play. I don't know until we actually see it roll out how strong it's going to be, but I do think it gets... It gets some value here because you'll likely be able to play it about 3 times during the game, I would imagine.
Yeah, you're.
Yeah, it's basically.
Yeah, because yeah, it's coming from. Yeah,
it's basically the flying so Redanian true. Kind of, mm-hmm. but a neutral flying Redanian who does something. You know, just not sit on the board and do nothing. If you click him and you want the extra damage, you can go ahead because it is an auto ability. It's not like it'll happen. The cataclysm will just happen. If you want to use it, you can use it. If you think you just need the 3 points, you know, on your side and not blame it on RNG for damaging some armor or something, you know, like
exactly because
it's a little flexible, yeah.
It's on order, right? And I think it does yeah. act as a good deck thin, right? You have it in deck, you don't have to worry about finding it. It's gonna help thin out the deck in some, you know, similar way to like your Justice or something like that. So you could really kind of get to your good cards quicker. I think it's pretty interesting.
Happy yep. I have people like you guys around. My reading comprehension sucks, and I'm reading
one of the,
it.
First net decks for the Squirtle movement.
Yeah, I'm reading the card, and I'm
reading. They were using it first, so that is a bomb too, technically.
Yeah, I'm reading the card, and I'm like, you only get it once. But yeah, if you summon the card from your deck or graveyard, it's a random Adam low whenever you play a bomb card. So yeah, that could be good. It looks like they're trying to get weather cards so much more into the game too, like row effect cards. I think when they try to do that with Frost heavy, and I don't think a lot of people really played Frost, and now you see like another row effect card kind of coming into play. So what's the card that increases row effect damage? There's one, right? Yeah, that's the thing.
Isn't there one? Was it Venom?
Was it Venom Maker? I'm not sure.
Yeah, so it's like nobody really plays Aridin. Well, no, it's not Aridin. Aridin's, if you have dominance, it increases frost damage by 1. But there is a card I know that will actually increase row effect. Weather
oh,
row
it's,
effect.
Vader Maker.
Is that what it is?
It's,
it's Vader Maker.
I don't think
Maker
it's increasing damage. I think Vader Maker just increases the duration if it's on melee. And
oh,
if it's
okay.
on range, it reduces the duration by 2,
yeah.
I think.
Okay.
I think it's something like that. He can control the weather, basically, so... Yeah, he's a little flexible guy.
I don't know how deep people end up going with it. I think that maybe an extra bomb or two will be thrown in deck to accommodate this, but I don't think it'll be as much as the whole deck surrounding it, because I don't think that when you do that, it's strong enough. I do think that maybe it complements a deck, because you can get a good substitution. Like, for example, it might take the place of like an All God or something in that 10 provision range, right? And it's not going to be too much of a big change. But throwing in tons of bombs might actually take away some of the integrity from one of those damage decks, you'd think.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, it's.
I think it's going to probably end up taking like a no unit build, right?
Yeah,
that
that's what
like
I
that'd
think.
Be the best play for it.
But I just don't think too many bombs, maybe 3 or 4 tops. What were we
probably,
saying, Dark?
Yeah,
the most recent Sabertooth Cat deck uses. At least 3 bombs anyway, so maybe it finds a place in that.
Yep.
Looks like they are trying to
the
develop
the only deck I find
the bomb archetype a little bit more.
Yeah. The only deck I find it viable right now is in the Saber deck. I really don't see any other deck right now. Of course, there will be some wacky stuff that people like maybe Mr. Habler or someone will come out with, but right now, when it comes to the thought process of this, I think it's just one deck where I see this viable, but it does add a good firepower to the deck, so it'll be fun to see it implemented in it if they do go ahead and even implement it, because the Sabertooth deck already is pretty toxic, so I don't know, seeing another card, I don't know whether you know whether they want to even spoil the deck by adding a card which you know you might draw into and brick yourself. I don't know, it's hard to say.
Then we had to change to the succubus ability, right? The death wish at the end of your turn. If there's another succubus in your graveyard, summon self from your graveyard to random ally row and gain doomed. Adrenaline 3, don't gain doomed. But not.
I'm still confused on this because the card effect in the game still states is the same.
I just think they had an underperforming card and made it even worse. you know, there wasn't a lot of succubus play to begin with, and it was still not amazing. It was all right. But now I just find it's going to be harder to execute.
Maybe it is how it was. Like they just said that they corrected it, right? I think that it's worded properly now or something is what they've said. Like, I think it's how it was supposed to work.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, because it says right here in the game currently, at the end of your turn, summon a different copy of succubus from your graveyard to a random row and give it doomed. And then the same thing is don't give it doomed adrenaline.
The issue is that you actually have to have one die before you play the second one, then consume to have one come back. So it involves you basically playing one for the four base and having to get rid of it prior to even getting an additional effect from the second. You might as well be playing like, which troll is that boosts the highest unit by four? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, like the bridge troll.
Something to that extent would just be a much easier way to kind of execute that combo if you're just looking for a plus four, right?
Yeah, it feels like too much work, to be honest. So, yeah.
Yeah, but
usually what they do is...
I don't even know if I've ever seen anyone play it even against me.
I mean, they keep one succubus in deck. And usually the other succubus is created from Dolduloc, the location. But I don't know. I still wouldn't play it myself. I don't find it a viable strategy when monsters is just the strongest, I feel, when it comes to bronzes. I don't think you need to really think when it comes to monsters. You just put in Thrives, you put in Foglets, you put in Wild and Riders, and you're done. So I don't know. Wow. I don't find it a viable thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading too that it looks like there's not a lot of balance changes because I think the holiday season kind of pulled the team back from being able to make balance changes. That is interesting. People were like all complaining about, of course, Vi or V, however you want to say it, and why didn't we fix this? And that was a reason given. So I didn't think about that.
I mean, what are they going to... I'm just wondering, you know, I was just thinking, okay, if they're going to nerf V... How are we even going to nerf V? Reduce the increasing by 1 point, increase the provision by one, you know?
That's usually what they do. It's usually what they do. They make the card more expensive, right? But at the same time, how much is that going to affect how that card plays?
Not much.
Not much.
The rumors that a lot of the community would want is they want Vi's base power to go down by 2 to 3, and then its provision cost to go down to 11. So, like, it makes it slightly cheaper to run, but it doesn't have the opportunity to be tutored out so much and for it to play for significant points. Because 2 to 3 would basically mean, what, it drops down, if you were to tutor correctly, at most to 29 points, I believe. Because the highest we can get is 32 or 35.
See. I mean, normally I'll see I'll see them late 20s.
Which you rarely see.
Game 27, something around there is kind of the sweet number, but 17 is usually a bad buy. To be fair, I think that if they just did a timer on it, like how Alzer has 3, then that would just solve the problem in itself and keep everything else the same.
Yeah, so let's just say if it stays the same,
then 11, the other 14, strategy 17, to deal with
it would
go for it.
They could always just deal with like the tutors, eh? Like Prince Willem and stuff like that. That's doesn't get used anywhere else, really. If they make changes to some of those cards, then it's less things enabling V to come back to 30 plus points, right?
Yeah, like that's why I just thought like a cooldown of just being able to only use it like, let's say, 3 times would be ideal, because then it has a ceiling and people can kind of make an ethical deck surrounding it, but it doesn't depend on just that, right?
Yeah. So we got some speculation on, you know, kind of what the changes will be. We also have... what else are we talking about? We talked about playing. So the season has been extended, right? We said a week, and did we get a reason why?
Yes.
Because there was a game-breaking bug. So we can't release the update. So we have some speculation on what it could be, but we don't really have an answer, right?
It's actually included in here. It was not included when they released the patch notes 2 days ago, or yesterday, I should say. It says right here, Cat Witcher Mentor now correctly mentions that he boosts out for other cards on the row. Cat Witcher Mentor now doesn't react to units transformed on the opposite enemy row. That's the bug that they were talking about. So when units are being transformed, let's just say like if in our Witcher Adepts, if they transformed on the opposite row, then Cat Witcher was also boosting himself as well. That shouldn't be happening. It should only be on your row.
But is that a game breaking?
Yeah, I know. There was something funny on Reddit, and it said,
I mean, in their eyes, it is.
Something funny on Reddit, and it was like game breaking bug, and it was just a picture of Vi sitting in front of a TV or a monitor, computer.
Yeah. It is. You can say it's a broken card, and people will agree because it's insane in power. Yeah, but I think another fix for V would just be adrenaline, don't you think? That only if you have adrenaline 4 or something and you consume it, only then will the death wish be triggered or something like that, you know? That wouldn't be a bad idea, but because these guys are like, okay, we play 2 cards and they just start slamming V with consumes, you know? Like from the 7th, 8th card down, and it could be a fix that it's adrenaline 4 or adrenaline 3 or something. So. Yeah,
that's definitely not a bad idea. Like you could definitely. And I think they were talking about that was the original. What is the original reason? But one of the big reasons they introduced adrenaline into the game was to give them another way to balance change cards. Because if you make it harder for them to proc that ability, or you know, let's say you can't play this card towards until like the end of the round. You can play with some balance changes there. So I was reading that. So that's a good point. Definitely see that.
Yeah. I mean, you have adrenaline. Use it.
Yeah.
So.
That's our patch notes. What else we got to talk about? We were talking about a tournament coming up, right, Kisenta, we were talking about before?
Yeah. So that's a Baron thing.
Baron, tell us about your tournament.
Well, right now we've had the Randori Bush League was the first one I started up to kind of just get familiar with the tournament system and that. And we had 16 people, kind of just a casual tournament. It went on a little longer than we had planned because of the holiday season. So the initial round robin play just completed, and now we've got the four winners from each of our divisions, we're going to set up a playoff for them. So I was fortunately Santu from Eritusa got on board with that and kind of helped me through it, which was really nice of him. And he's also a winner of his division, of course, because he's the best. And the next thing I got going on is a small tournament will be coming up, not this weekend, but the following, which will be around my birthday. So that's going to be a part of Baron's Bloody Good Friends, and this is going to be like a Baron's Bloody Good birthday bash. And we're hoping Kisento is going to be there.
I already
submitted and we my, got
approval. Yeah,
Mr. Habla is going to be in it. You're the best, Mr. Habla, Tilt Bro, Toncheck, as well as Evades and One Crystal are supposed to be there. And you got to have some Not Rashid in there to make it fun, right? So he's hopefully going to show up for that too.
That's a list and a half, man.
I was hoping that you could put me against Rashid first so I could at least make it to the second round. But it looks like I'm playing you first, so.
I think we're
going to try and do a tournament, eh?
Now I know it's your birthday weekend. I'm torn,
for
man.
Scheduling, I think we might. Yeah, you just got to really 2-0 me hard for it. And but I think we're going to put
a big fat L for his
there's
birthday.
Four people from. There's four people from the Eastern Hemisphere and four of us from the Western, so I think we're going to start together just to accommodate some people's schedules a little bit better at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it'd probably be me, you, and Evades and One Crystal starting out together.
Oh, it'll be all right. It's going to be a hard one for me.
It's highly competitive, just for fun, right?
We say that, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, Q has to redeem himself because, you know, when we threw our tournament, and he went up against Zoltan. That was not the matchup we wanted to see.
Well, he was just a great player.
Yeah, Zoltan.
You know, and I really did my best, but yeah. I think we've come some way since then. I've had a lot of coaching, so I'm hoping to take a better game to this tournament. I'm excited.
I'm the guy that just sits on the sidelines and commentates exactly. And points at all the crap you play, pretending like I don't play crap 24/7, you know?
But we need one of those too, you know?
That's what I'm saying. So we were talking a little bit before about I was on Reddit. I know, cesspool of the internet. I was on Reddit, and we were reading the Gwent group's actually pretty good, but everyone complaining about Nilfgaard and how the game... They don't want to play the game because of Nilfgaard, which shows me a little bit crazy. But what do you guys think? Do you think Nilfgaard is really that overpowered?
No.
Yeah, no. I don't...
No, because... But everybody's saying the same thing about Lippi, about Vi, about movement decks.
Yeah.
If everything's busted, then it must be sort of even.
Yeah, all six factions overpowered.
Well, except for one right now, and it sucks.
Syndicate.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make a Syndicate like Salamander deck. Is there not even any point? Should I just not even bother? I want to though.
No, I mean you're better off just running cash. Or even just Congregate, like a standard old.
I haven't seen Congregate in so long. Like, I think I've only seen it once in the past month.
Last week. I mean, it still kind of works.
It does, but when you see the lists that you see, like V and stuff, you know, at least earlier Syndicate had a chance in a short round with stuff like the Grand Inquisitor and stuff like that, but V is just like, okay, 60 points in 3 cards, you know, what's this guy gonna even do? Yeah. And they are devotion at the same time, so they don't even have the means to remove the V or remove whatever is consumed. So Syndicate right now just doesn't stand a chance when it comes to Lippi and V. That's it.
Not to mention Gezra's. When Gezra's procs on that melee row, those zealots are going to die
I've
so
been
fast.
Seeing a lot of the older hidden cache, like the throwback cache coming back with Morale and Heatwave and the poison package. That can actually stand up to Veeb just because you have those tall banishes, right? They're going to use consumes to consume other consumes that are poisoned and just get taller and taller. So you're able to kind of conquer that problem. It's just about making sure that you're playing everything right. But I find that it doesn't stand well against a lot of the lockdown stuff that's going around right now. And that's probably the worst matchup for Syndicate.
Yeah, I think, Nilfgaard is kind of like it's like the ref in the middle of the game, man. They hold the factions in check. I mean, Scoia'tael movement, our decks are insane. You know, you have the monster V decks, which are great. Kashi decks can get all sorts of nuts. You have Skellige, which has always got, you know, multiple choices they can do. Northern Realms, I mean, look at some of the Northern Realm decks you see. So it's like, I think it's evened out. We were talking, you look at TLG's, they were talking their meta report, and it's pretty much just a whole bunch of decks right in the middle, you know, from all the factions. So I think that's just another example that the game is more balanced than it ever has been. I mean, in my opinion.
Speaking of Northern Realms, let me just touch on the fact that Alluxa over here dominating the MMR ladder with the NR Witcher deck.
Yeah,
and then not running Igni or Yurden, the most that, like commons in the
no NR removal, no reset.
I mean, that's just
kill points.
That's I'm happy with that, to be honest, that it's able to hold out on its own and not depending on a card like Yurden. So yeah, it's nice to see, to be honest. I like the list myself. I run it myself, and I no complaints. It even beats Lockdown, so yeah, that thing has some potential.
Yeah, like, and it dishes out points. I was watching Spyro play it the other day, and it was I think in the first round he drops casual just 70, 80 points, and the second round he still drops another, or second round, but third round he drops 100. Just like nothing. I'm just like, okay, the deck just has points.
Well. And if there was a spot for that Yurden or Igni would be best in, it would be a deck like that because they're witchers and they're 2-point witchers, so you can convert them into adepts afterwards, but it just doesn't need to rely on them because the way it can put out points in the first round and then to secure round control and then just keep continuing them on, even if they did a Yurden or Igni to you, you can still pull up points after that. and you got enough to win. Yeah, pretty interesting because for the most part of this season, Northern Realms was kind of securely in like fifth best, eh? Like it was down there with Syndicate. So for it to rise up to be have the best MMR, single MMR in a faction is pretty interesting that it can change like that without any changes to the cards.
We'd hope that a Witcher deck would be this one. Branson's called Way of the Witcher.
I'm curious to see how well a Siri would fit in that deck to get card advantage because you could pull it out with a shield. It's kind of.
Would you mean the Siri dash or?
But it's interesting because then you can also play off the bronze specials by boosting it to keep it safe, and you'd be spawning Witchers on the side as well. I might theorycraft something and see if I can make it fit.
Me too. That's the thing, man. I wish we were talking about.
I mean, you could even run regular Siri too, right?
I think you only get the shield on adrenaline though, and then because Siri's on a timer, I'm not sure if the timing works.
If the timer
out
would tick
correctly on that,
what would the adrenaline be?
I'm not certain.
Yeah.
Three.
So that's
it's
a
three.
Game changer.
It's shield. I mean, Siri takes four turns, so you would have to. Yeah, you would.
But I mean, even if you do add Siri dash, are you going to be putting a defender in there? Without a defender, I do not think it's viable because
that's
NG.
That's too expensive at that point.
I mean, NG run Tony Joust, lockdown. You're not gonna survive it, to be honest. And even Lippy can just take care of it like that.
I was just inspired because I've been playing a lot of Keltelis lately, so I was like, how could we just drag the parts I like to another deck? But I guess
Northern Realms does have a lot of cards that can hold a boost and then give them to something once it's on the board too, so you could have her boosted up and then she only dies to heat wave or something like that maybe.
But I think the Enna Witches deck is and should be,
we're all gonna run off and make that deck now.
So let me ask this, with the Witcher trio, the Vesemir, Lambert, Eskul, what's the most points that it can play for? I was doing the math, and if you do all the buffs from the location, the Erland, and then the Vesemir, would that put them at 20?
It is 20.
21?
It is 20.
If I'm thinking
the ceiling is 20.
Okay. That's what I thought. Because they all
it's easy to do crap. Like three from the location, if you can set it down. Gezras gives it plus one. A Vesemir mentor gives them plus one. And the other plus two you could get is from the Griffin mentor, the Griffin Witcher mentor. So, yeah, that comes from, that makes it into a possible 5-10-5.
Okay.
So, 20 points.
Yeah. So, a lot of different things going around.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, okay.
A lot of different things going around. What decks are you guys going to be playing? We got a couple minutes left in the podcast. What decks are you guys playing right now that you're trying to master right now?
Playing Bart's Keltelis deck. It got me up to 2495, and I'm just trying to push it over 2500. And I have a nice Legacy SK Warriors deck with Location and Bear Witchers added, and a couple of the little good things like the Hunters and whatnot. So that's going to be a healthy second. I'm playing Red Rain's Assimilate deck with a couple of changes I think that maybe Lemon made. It was something we were doing on co-op stream the other night. That was fun. I was able to push past 2,500 with that. And so then those are kind of the big three, and I'm still trying to figure out a fourth. Maybe Scoia'tael movement or try and just force Syndicate, see what happens, but we'll see.
I mean, Syndicate's not a bad choice given the meta right now because even the list that Saber himself has uploaded when it comes to Hidden Cache, it's literally to counter his own lockdown and stuff like that. So he knows many people are on the ladder, you know, using that very same deck. So he's like, okay, if people are going to be lockdowning every single time, I have to just, you know, play around it. So that list he's made of Hidden Cache is actually really good. But I think the bane of that list is something like a mill from Nilfgaard. if they mill stuff like your Sol and things like that, I think you just lose. But how many people play mill when you cross 2450? So yeah, Syndicate's not a bad choice. I think it's not bad at all. It's just being overpowered by things like V, in my opinion. So that's why people say, oh my god, Syndicate is so bad, because I think half the time they're just facing either Lockdown or they're just facing V. So they're all like, oh my god, Syndicate's the worst faction. But I don't think it's that bad if you pilot it right, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I will try it myself, so hopefully. Let's see how that turns out.
I think we talked about it a few times. I think Syndicate gets its bad rap because it's extremely hard to pilot. Syndicate takes a lot of understanding how it works and reacting to how the opponent plays. I mean, we say, like, if you're for StarCraft people, Syndicate's like Zerg. It's not for the easy play, you know. It's not just a point slam and walk away. So I'm going to focus on trying to make like a Salamander kind of poison, just toxic, crazy ass Syndicate deck. I've been talking about getting into it for the longest time. And even if the deck sucks and it doesn't work, if I'm laughing and pissing people off, that's all that matters. And then I'm playing like a Masquerade Ball, Nilfgaard, kind of moving the Conspiracy in there a little bit between Soldiers. I don't know which one I want to do more. Then I'm doing like a double, triple Orianna. I'm trying to bring Vampires back.
Fine. I actually saw Vampires on the ladder the other night.
Yeah. It's just a fun deck.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
It's
I respect that.
So I'm hoping I can get that kind of going. But yeah, that's what I'm playing.
I mean, Vampires is not bad, but I think you need to go...
I've been having luck with...
Yeah, sorry, you can go ahead.
Yeah, they need some more for Vampires. They like just a few more pieces and that would be a pretty good archetype too. One thing I've been playing is the Shin Miri's unitless Scoia'tael with the Sabretooth Cat. I believe those Shin Miri's. Sick, yeah. And it's pretty good. It's really, really unitless. Like, you don't even use Skags or anything. Eh? You're just... It must be frustrating to play against, I would think. And
it is.
Another thing I've been playing is I've homebrewed up a Kel'Thalas deck recently, where I started going with my motto of a pony in every pile, playing the Disco Pony. In that deck, I'll use it to pull out my Siri Dash, and that's mostly just a counter for like Lippy and V or anything really. Like just pulling out their highest provision unit often is a frustration for the opponent. And the only thing I have to watch there is that I put Mata in it so I can secure Kel'Thalas into my hand. But as an option, like that pony can also pull out Kel'Thalas. But generally, I'm trying to use it for my Siri Dash. And yeah, I play the Assimilate too. I like that a lot. I always like the Assimilate. And I'm not really sure. I didn't play too hard this past season, even though it's been 6 weeks. I basically got in my 25 games with four factions in Pro, and then I've just been experimenting and fooling around a bit, but I wasn't going too seriously or too hard because, I don't know, just, at the beginning when it's just all Lippy and V and then steady Lockdown, it's too frustrating. I didn't find it all that fun, and I don't know. I like the Skellige more of the Bloodthirst strategy at the beginning, but what's that?
You're still over 10,000.
No, I'm like rank 5,000 or... Oh, no okay. way. No, I'm like 9,600.
I remember you were like top 200 like the season before or something like that. So that's why I figured.
Zubin, what were
I don't think I held the top 200, but I...
Zubin, what were you saying about the Vampire deck before? Because I'm interested in what your point was.
You know, Vampire is like, it's sad to see that, you know, they're being overpowered by things like V when it comes for you to be your monsters of choice, right? So... I mean, I was seeing Synergy God playing some Vampires, and it was pretty fun to see that it was actually working against things like Golgrim and things like that, you know, kind of like the meta decks right now. Because he was playing not a Devotion Monsters, but he was playing a non-Devotion Monsters with stuff like Geralt of Rivia and things like that, you know, which has this tall removal potential. So, of course, there was no Portal, I think, in that. Usually, you know, people were thinking, oh, we can portal into the Garkanes or whatever. But given the nerf that they've given to Portal, it's just not as viable anymore for that particular card. Because you need Bleeding to go on on the battlefield if you want the Garkians to proc the 1 point. So they had a few, maybe the a few changes to the vampires that they can do to make it more viable, in my opinion. But I don't know if they will take the effort into really doing it, because not many people are into vampires, you know. Like, even the leader is just, like, I think definitely, like, one of the least used out there, apart from maybe Invigorator or whatever. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Like, it has potential, but it does require rework. Like, no doubt. It does require some rework.
I think somebody was talking about how it could potentially still have its three leader charges, but instead of spawning the Ekamara at the end, I think it would spawn a Garkane instead, which could be okay.
But, I mean, nah, it still wouldn't be good.
Those guys need to buff his Garkanes and stuff like that. Like, I think they're only a 3 power to start, 3-4 or something, or...
Yeah. Yeah.
But a couple buffs down there, and their 4 and 5 provision cards, the bronzes, to the vampires. That's probably all it would really take to make it, you know, from kind of almost there to half decent or decent anyway.
I like Sound of Snow, exactly. Make Crimson Curse an echo card. Absolutely.
That's what I've been saying for months.
Yeah.
Ever since Master Mirror, I'm like, man, this card, the animation looks sick.
Well, I had Crimson Curse in that deck for the longest time, and I kept yelling. I was like, I want you to work, but you aren't working. Like,
here's the problem is that it's not an echo card, and it's more expensive than echo cards.
Yeah. That's what I'm like. Just what? Work.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's more expensive.
Some stuff just
than
gets
RD.
Left behind, eh?
Well, it's that'd more be expensive fair to have shaping nature and coup as well.
Yeah
okay, three of them. Well, I mean, okay, even okay, let's just say if you make it an echo card, that would make monsters have 2 echo cards in the game.
Yeah, but if it was an echo card, really, then that whole play structure could come back, because you could do it twice now, and then it just gets out of hand.
Yeah
but I think they have to nerf it then from 5 turns to 4 turns, maybe. I think
I'd be fine with that.
They're gonna make it echo.
It'd be disgusting if you had like frost on one row,
yeah,
and that on the other. Ooh,
oh god, water's a boat. No.
Icy hot deck, you know.
The weather effects.
Who remembers Mystic Echo days? That's like having that all over again.
I mean, I think they're not gonna do that to Crimson Curse. Sadly, I know people are like, okay, we need echo, but I don't think it's ever gonna happen. They know it's going to be insanely hyper, I feel. It's like too much control. It's just too much control.
Just like how Red Rain was suggesting about the provision nerf or nerf to Oniromancy. Buff it up to 15, 16 provisions, but let it start in your hand at the beginning of every game.
But wow, 15, 16, you're putting it up there with Masquerade Ball, so that's...
I don't know. There's just so many ways to get cards out of your
deck.
That's a
pretty good card, though.
Yeah, I think it's good just the way it is. Because you're not guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. A lot of players are complaining about, if the ecosystem is used properly, I should be able to get one of my best cards from my deck. How many times have you seen NR or, well, what do you call it, any other faction that relies on their echo card? And not
because usually the echoes have tutors, right?
Yeah, at the end of the game, that's the one the gold you didn't draw.
And
yeah, I mean, you see it all the time with NR. If they don't get AA, they kind of just don't have the extra points to reach.
CDPR making a card like Viper Witcher Mentor kind of makes it a punishment, right, for not drawing Oniromancy. So they know it's a painful thing when you don't draw it, but. Yeah, you get value off other cards, but it's sadly not for yourself. It's for the enemy. So, but I don't know, making it a card like, oh, you have to, you will draw it, you know, round one, you will get it. I don't know. I don't find it fun, in my opinion. I think it's fine. If you don't get it, it's just your bad luck. That's it. You're not meant to get it.
Shit. And then losing the game because of RNG. Not
I mean, it's
you,
not like
you
need.
Better.
No, it's not like you need Oneromancy to win. Like Oneromancy is just a card that gets
you
a card. That's,
definitely.
That's literally all it does.
Yeah, and when you don't draw Nero, chances are you've already drawn most of the golds that you needed anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. So Oniro is simply to get the golds. It's not like it does anything special to the card that you draw. It just helps you play it. Right. So if I'm pulling just a beautiful hand in round three, then forget about Oniro. Right.
Okay. Exactly. Because sometimes you have Oniro in your deck and there's nothing to tutor out of it. I was just saying, like, I think that's okay. Echo.
Like,
change,
sometimes
Oniro
just plays for a low end bronze. I remember I Oniro'd out a boiling oil the other day.
Yeah, when you have a deck like Lippy and that, you kind of want the Oniro because that's how you get your second series when you only have a couple cards left after the fact, like your round three. And another time when you really want that Oniro is something like Kel'Thuas, when you have a few tech cards there just to deal with and whatever kind of situation could come up, like a Spores or a Purify. You've got your Oniro there, so you've kind of got a choice to access the card, that one particular card you do need that's situational. As for making you automatically get it at the beginning, I don't know how I feel about that, but
yeah, I agree with that.
I don't have much of a problem with the Neuromancy. I got a bigger problem with cards like Yurdin and even like Kahir and Nilfgaard, where they can play for like 60, 70 points in one game. But I would like to see more moderate cards that, you know, in the 7 provision range that consistently play for like a 5 to 12 points without cards that if you can't answer them, that's just a runaway, the game's over, unless you have the Urden, which no matter what he did that game, you just cancel it. Like those kind of game breaking cards.
Yep.
I think
that is true.
A lot of them.
A lot of players were talking about that. Where Urden is like, okay, my opponent can boost his cards, you know, to all hell, and then just Urden just takes all that away in just one move. But it's a
and
surprise
you know it's coming, right?
It's not even something.
Well, sometimes you're wondering, why is he just letting me boost this and not stopping it? Like, oh, he must have a Yurt and he's playing. Which stuff like that could even get dealt with things like traps or the way the long ships work where they're reactive. As soon as he plays this, you know, it kills it before the fact or something like that. He had some more defensive tower defense type plays in there.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they make Yurden 2 for 12, because, you know, in control decks, I mean, it's just an insane card if you're facing an engine deck. Engines don't stand a chance. If that guy is Yurden, you just lose. There's no way you win unless your base bar itself is high. But engines don't have high base bars at all. They barely start at around 4 or 5 maybe, or even 3. So I wouldn't be surprised if they'd be like, okay, Yurden's getting enough. At least, if they're not going to kill the card like they did Ethereal and stuff, they're not going to change the ability. But a nerf of 2 to 12 could be a possibility, given the fact that the, you know, amount that it's played as well, it could be possible, to be honest. Because Igni is just 2 for 10, and Igni can do an insane amount of damage as well. So, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
100%. So, we're hitting the 42 minutes, guys, so I think this is... We're good to go, unless you guys got something else you want to say. No,
I'm good to go.
I never have anything exciting to say, so
I'm just thinking about what I'm gonna eat.
That's the only thing that's really important, though.
Nice. Yeah, this is great.
Yeah, well, guys, thank you so much for listening
to
the podcast.
You guys having me on and,
yeah, well, thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. Also, make sure you comment, too, if you guys want to be like, hey, who's that jackass you keep letting on the show? That's perfectly fine. I know it's me, but then at least I know you're commenting, right? So, guys, thank you again so much. We all hope you have a great day and go play some Gwent. Peace.
Yep, thanks, guys.